In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are gospel reading from John, the 14th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, so what's going to happen tomorrow? What will happen after you are confirmed or graduate? What will happen when that company buyout occurs? Will my job get sent overseas? What will happen when you get that medical test result back? Will my pregnancy and delivery turn out okay? Will we end up in bankruptcy? Will I be able to endure the death of my spouse or child? Will my husband or wife come home sober tonight? These are some of the questions that some of us here have today. Now, I know we're a pretty kind of put-together people. We have our day planners, we have our smartphones, we have our project schedules, our planting dates, our academic calendars, and graduation dates all penciled in. But time and time again, a simple thing, like a ring of a phone, a text message on our cell phone, or an email in the inbox changes everything. We simply don't know about tomorrow. And that can be frightening. How do you make it through a day without being able to see what's coming up next? I've thought about this a lot lately. And one thing that I've heard many times is that people get through this by looking at life as a journey. Life's a journey. Have you ever heard that phrase? You look at life like that. Now, I can see the appeal of thinking of life as a journey. On a journey, there's always progress, right? We're moving from one place to the next. And this progress is always to a happy place. Things might come into my life, people might come into my life and then go out of my life, but I am always moving forward on my journey to a happier destination. Perhaps you've even seen the inspirational poster that reads, "Your life is a sacred journey, and it's about change, growth, discovery, movement, transformation, continuously expanding your vision of what is possible, stretching out your soul, learning to see clearly and deeply, listening to your intuition, taking courageous risks, embracing challenges every step along the way." Inspiring, isn't it? But do you notice how all that works? On a journey, everything changes except me. I find myself somewhere, say in a job or in a relationship, and if it satisfies me, then great. But if not, I move on in my life's journey. A new spouse or job or place that's more suitable for my point in this journey. On a journey, my moral perspectives might change. Maybe I have strong feelings about abortion or end-of-life issues. Maybe I even speak out against them until maybe it's my daughter who ends up pregnant or my father who's lying in pain on a hospital bed with cancer. Then my journey makes me follow other choices, of course. It shows up in our religious thinking. I've discovered my path to God, right? And if it works for me, great, at least it works for now. But some things might change, and who am I to say that to my friends and my neighbors that their religions or ways of life are wrong? After all, we're all on a journey, right? To the same place, a better place, right? So it doesn't matter if we have different paths. No one should tell anyone else how to live on their journey, because we're all walking in our own shoes. Especially when some uncertain, terrifying life event can and does happen. It's Holy Thursday in our text. Jesus is in the upper room. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to pour out his blood on the cross. But before that, Jesus was reclining in a room full of disciples who were terrified about what is going to happen tomorrow. They did not know Jesus was going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. They did not know that he was going to a place that only he could go, a place where they could not follow. We just know that they were frightened by uncertainty, scared about what would happen tomorrow. So it is to these disciples then, these uncertain, even terrified disciples, uncertain and terrified about tomorrow, that Jesus speaks those familiar words of comfort from our text. Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. Those are great words of comfort, aren't they? We hear them time and time again in hospital rooms and at a bedside when death is near. And then we think about heaven, being in God's eternal presence forever. But that's not the disciples' context. That's not where the disciples were. We have to remember that Jesus did not speak those words to people who were at that point of death in their life. He spoke these words intending to comfort people who did not know what was going to happen tomorrow, or the day after that, or the day after that, and they were terrified. And since that's the case, I have to wonder, is Jesus only promising a place at the end? A heavenly place at the end of the road somewhere? Well, if he were, that's great. But if that's all he is promising, how does that help those disciples? Basically, if that's the case, Jesus would be saying something like this. Yeah, you know, life stinks, but don't worry, because you're going to die. And then I'll take you to heaven, and everything will be okay. So, just put up with everything until I take you out of this miserable place. No. Jesus' comfort is not merely some distant future hope. Oh, it is that, for sure. But it's not only that. It's so much more. Jesus tells them about tomorrow, about his journey, his destination to the cross, and then to the Father. And after reaching his destination, he would prepare a dwelling place for them. And this dwelling place, it's not just somewhere far off in heaven. Later in the same chapter, Jesus speaks again with these same disciples and says, "If someone loves me, he will obey my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him." You see, it's not that we go somewhere else off to heaven to be comforted. It's that Jesus and the Father come here to us. Today, God actually comes into our world, into our lives, and he makes his dwelling with us. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. Why? Because he will be with them. He will be with us. This same Jesus now dwells with us, who are baptized into cross, who bear the mark of his cross on our foreheads and on our hearts, who have drunk from the same waters of eternal life, who are led by the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, the sheep. That means that whatever tomorrow you face, you don't face it alone. We are not left to ourselves. The Holy Spirit has brought us to the Father and to the Son. The Father and the Son who dwells with us. And life, your life, it's not a journey then, as Thomas thinks when he says, "Lord, show us the way. What's the path?" But Jesus says, there is no path. There is only me. I am the way and the truth and the life. We don't journey to Jesus. It's Jesus who comes to us. It's Jesus who dwells with us through his word and sacrament. It is Jesus who leads us to places of his choosing. So whatever sorrowful or joyful major life event happens to you tomorrow, your God remains with you and for you. And you know that because he did not spare his own son, and that son did not spare his own life. He gave it up for you in love upon the cross. He paid for your sins, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and guaranteed you a place, a dwelling with the Father here in time and then again in eternity. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with his crucified, reigning, risen, righteous right hand. And this, dear saints of the living God, this gives us freedom. It gives us confidence to go out courageously, boldly into the world that desperately needs Jesus' presence. You are going out of this place today as a father, a mother, a child, a brother, a sister, a grandfather, a grandmother, a friend, a citizen. You are going out amongst a people who do not know what will happen tomorrow, who find guidance and direction for their journeys in the strangest places, even in themselves and in weird world religions. A people who live without rest, without a dwelling place. A people who think that simply moving along on a journey is life and living. But that is not life. Jesus Christ is life. And so we go out of this place today so that we can comfort a people who have been run over and crushed by life. And we go out to make a people who think they've got it all figured out uncomfortable as we remind them that they don't and they can't. They can't fix their life. They can't make it better. They don't have it all together. They need someone to help them. They need someone to rescue them. They need someone to save them. They need someone to be with them and strengthen them and help them and uphold them with his crucified, risen, righteous, reigning right hand. They need Jesus. Some will receive this message with joy and be brought into his presence with us. Some will laugh at us, spit on us for daring to claim that there is only one person and one person alone who is the way to heaven. That there is salvation in no one else, no other name given among men by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. This. What you speak, what you offer to your family and your friends and your community, this is not mere guidance for a journey. This is forgiveness. This is freedom. This is salvation. This is abundant, eternal life. This is Jesus. The one who comes to us and makes his dwelling with us today, tomorrow, and every day hereafter. In all of life's circumstances. In sorrows and in joys. So let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is with you, and you are with him, now and forever. Amen.